The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Dr. David Jeremiah answers the question, what will we do in heaven?
Work won't have the connotation it has here. It will be the most joyous thing you can ever imagine. You'll be free to explore things you never dreamed of and carry them out to their fullest extension. Heaven will be that kind of a place. It will not be a place where you won't know what to do.
Revealing the mysteries of heaven, next on Life Today.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Tammy Trent is with me. And Tammy, you're fairly new here still.
Right.
I mean, you've been on the mission field forever, but
right. In
the studio. What do you think some of our top, most popular topics are on Life Today?
Wow. You have a lot on health.
Mm-hmm.
We talk a lot about healing, mm-hmm. maybe finances.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, all good topics.
Yeah.
But I think maybe our number one is heaven.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, recently, as we look back over the last 60 years of ministry from my parents and the wonderful celebration of an anniversary, we want to talk about heaven with one of the most popular guests on the program.
Okay.
Dr. David Jeremiah.
Okay. Oh, I like him so much.
Yeah, he's good. So in this program, he talks about his book, Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven. And he answers many of the common questions, things like, well, will I be in this body? What will this body look like? What am I going to do? Do you have any questions about heaven?
Oh, you know I have a ton of questions about heaven. I've got a list of them, so I am so looking forward to this.
Will there be pets in heaven?
I wonder. That's not at the top of my list, but I do wonder.
People do wonder, actually.
They do, yeah.
Well, we're going to get to that. So we hope you enjoy today's program with Dr. Jeremiah on the mysteries of heaven.
Dr. Jeremiah, you know, we've been blessed with wonderful, wonderful homes and families. And together we love God's family very much,
yes,
both of us.
Yes, we do.
I don't think we're just trying to get God's arms around his family. I think we're encouraging God's family to put their arms around a hurting world. And I believe it's time to do it.
Yeah, right.
We are. I think that's one reason you wrote this book.
Yes, sir.
Because there's a lot of people that are hurting who may not have even considered the God of heaven and earth. And many people who have considered it, they wonder, and some who go to church a lot, wonder, can I really know I'm even going to go there? Because we're going to live somewhere forever,
mm-hmm.
where there is no more of these things that really disgust us if we have any sensitivity to decency about us. We don't like the pain, the disease, the horrors of what happens here when there's hatred and malice and anger and rage and out of control humanity and wickedness, and you think, well, is there a place, or do we just die and we're gone? And we're a living soul, so people are really wondering. So the question is, revealing the mysteries of heaven, first of all, how can we even be assured there is a heaven?
Well, the assurance of it comes from the revelation that we have in the Word of God. God has promised us that. And I believe that there's even beyond that, the evidence that comes from the way that we have been created. I believe that God creates us with a hunger for heaven that cannot be satisfied with anything else. And people often say, you know, I know there's something missing. I wish I knew what it was. And then they find Jesus and they discover that the emptiness of their heart has been filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only do we have his revelation in the scripture, we have the actual creation of humanity with this void that cannot be filled any place else except in the ultimate arms of the Lord in heaven. And I have no question about the fact that there is heaven. Even skeptics, even secular people who try to reason heaven out of their routine, when they are serious, they know that death is not the end, that there's something beyond that. Not just for those who know Jesus. There's an eternal life that is, you know, everybody's going to be alive somewhere forever.
Yeah.
And best get that straightened out while you can.
And you know, if people are miserable or depressed or hurt or whatever, it's obvious they're trying to escape something here that is anything but heaven. and they get high, addicted on alcohol or drugs, or get high on something they smoke, and opioids and other, let's say, drugs. They're trying to get away from something, which in itself implies a desire for something greater and better and beyond all of this. So there is that inborn desire. The question is, how can a person know that they're going to be in heaven? One of the questions in the book that you touch on is, how do you get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, which the people in the Lamb's Book of Life, they go to heaven. So how do you get your name in
there? Let me just give you a little background on the Lamb's Book of Life. In the Roman and Greek cities during which the Bible was written at that time, they had a registry for the people that lived in their city. If you lived in this city, your name would be on the registry. If you did something that was immoral, or perhaps you killed somebody, or you did something terribly wrong, they would take your name off of the blotter, and you would no longer be on their list. The Scripture teaches us that when we are born, whoever we are, our names are all in the Book of Life. If we get to the place where we die and we haven't accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, our name is removed from that list. But if we're Christians, if we've trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we cannot be blotted out of that list. We will always, the Bible says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And
no one can pluck them out of my hand.
That's right. And the Bible teaches us that the Book of Life is simply like the registry of the city. Everybody's name is there, but if you don't trust Jesus Christ, that's the cardinal sin. That's unbelief. That's the one sin that keeps you out of heaven, unbelief. And your name is blotted from the list. So make sure you don't go through your whole life and not receive Jesus Christ, because if you do, you won't be in heaven.
And hell was not created for us. It was created for the devil and his angels. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the word angel too, it's a messenger. So the people here that reject the truth that sets us free, he goes to a paraplace for us, come back to get us. He is the way to the Father. No one comes there. Right. And the Father's in heaven in this place, the way, the truth, and the life there. So this is the way to heaven. This is the way to have your name there and never ripped out. So the fact is that the hell that's been prepared was prepared for people who did not receive that, who in essence joined the messengers of the devil to carry Satan's message against Jesus, against receiving the salvation he freely offers, and they actually become, unwittingly perhaps, a messenger of deception and destruction. Mm-hmm. And they are contributing to this rapid race into the pit of destruction. Whereas when we come to Christ, we find life. Is this decent preaching right here, sir?
Well, I'm not your homiletics professor, but I'll tell you that the fact is, probably more than ever before in my whole life, it seems like people are hell-bent on taking people to hell.
That's exactly. They become the messenger.
The Bible says they say good is evil and evil is good, and they turn everything upside down. It is almost maddening to watch it. It's never been like this before. And on the other hand, the gospel is still being preached and people are still finding Christ, and they're discovering that not only when they become a Christian do they get this life, but they get the life to come as well.
One of the interesting questions that people ask, and you've pointed this out in the book, is, well, when we die, do we just go and just rest until the rapture comes? And we just write this, you know, for however long until he comes.
Well,
this didn't really look like a lot of fun. And you talk about, boy,
no.
I don't look like I'm just jolly
James,
over here.
What? You probably do need to get some more sleep, but let me answer this question. Here's the deal. I had a little girl come up and ask me this one day after church. She said, you say that when we die, we go to heaven, and then somebody dies and we bring them to the church and put them in a box, and then we put them in the ground. Now, which is it? And I said, well, it's both. Here's what the Bible teaches. When you die, your soul and spirit go to be with God. Your body goes in the grave. One day, the Bible says, Jesus Christ is coming back, and when he comes back, the dead in Christ, those whose bodies have gone in the grave, shall rise first. And the Bible says, when they rise from the grave, they're going to be reconnected with their soul and spirit that's been with God. They'll be in their new body.
Yeah, the corruptible becomes incorruptible.
And the Bible says,
I'm going to help you with your teaching here.
so shall we always be with the Lord. It says.
That's it.
Amen.
Amen.
And so the answer to it is, the Bible says the body goes in the grave, the soul and spirit go to be with God. And so it is true when somebody dies and you bring their body to church, they're not there. Just their body is there, just the house they lived in. Mm-hmm. And but it's still, I've noticed that in our culture in California, we don't even have those kind of services. Most of the time they have a service at the cemetery, and then they come back to the church and they have a time of rejoicing over the life of the person who has gone to be with the Lord. But there is a lot of confusion about that. And I think the Bible is pretty clear about it.
What do you do in heaven? That's a question that people ask.
Yeah.
What do you have any idea of what we're doing? You've already discouraged me about maybe I can't fish. I mean, yeah. and you also, we ask you a question about whether or not there'd be any pets in heaven. And, you know, and you had this unbelievable answer about
it. You know, let me tell everybody something. We did a little experiment at Turning Point. We did some emails when we were teaching this to see what would get the most interest from people. And you know what question got the most interest by a whole lot? It was the question, are there pets in heaven? Everybody wanted to know
that. That's an important question, sir.
Yeah, right. Well, a little girl gave me the best answer I've ever heard. This is what she said. She says, I don't know why everybody asks that question, because when Jesus comes back at the end of time, he's riding on a white horse. So there you go.
And that horse came out of heaven.
You know, a lot of the questions people want to know answers to, I don't have any revelation from the scripture, but what we're going to do in heaven, James, is what we've always enjoyed doing here, unfettered by all the things that have held us back from doing it the way we wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. We're going to sing like we've never sung before. We're going to worship like we've never worshiped before. We're going to serve like we've never served before. We will not have any restraints whatsoever. When we go to work for God, there won't be anything standing in our way. There won't be anything trying to hold us back. The curse of Genesis will be gone, and the work that we do will be so full of joy, it will be like, you know, somebody once told me, if you get to do what you love 75% of the time, you haven't worked a day in your life. Well, that's kind of the way I feel about what I do. I love what I do, and it doesn't seem like work for me. But in heaven, work won't have the connotation it has here. It will be the most joyous thing you can ever imagine. You'll be free to explore things you never dreamed of and carry them out to their fullest extension. Heaven will be that kind of a place. It will not be a place where you won't know what to do.
Go ahead.
I'm sitting here thinking about being heavenly minded. I've heard that said so mm-hmm. many times. And to me at first I thought, well, does that mean people are heavenly minded? They want to escape and forget about the world and get out of here. Well, I've come to look at it in a whole different way, in that being heavenly minded is being in this world but not of this world. Mm-hmm. And also heavenly minded is God's love, God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's trust in Him, and the things of God is being heavenly minded, right. Thinking heavenly minded.
Betty, I have a little thing I do. Everybody teases me about it in my family. When we travel out of the country, I refuse to reset my watch. I want to always know exactly what time it is in San Diego. I don't care what time it is anyplace else. I can calculate that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to set our watch on heaven's time and never let the earth and what's going on down here keep us from understanding that heaven is really the reality. We're not going from a land that's living to a place that's dying. We're going from a place that's dying to a place that's living.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Heaven is right. where our mind ought to be. Amen.
Isn't there a line there we've got to be careful about, and that we don't become so earthly minded we're of no heavenly use, but could you become so there minded that we're not making the kingdom impact?
Well, that's if you really understand the joy of heaven, how you get there, why God wants you to, you know, the scripture is very replete in the New Testament about the fact that Jesus wants us with Him. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Somebody once told me that Jesus loves you so much that if he had a refrigerator, your picture would be on the outside of it. And that means he wants you to be with him. Right. Now, I'm going to heaven. I'm excited about going to heaven, but what God's put in my heart is, I want to take as many people with me as I can. Mm-hmm. So I have devoted my life to teaching and broadcasting and writing and trying my best to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with as many people. I want to get to heaven and have many people that are there because God allowed me to be an influence for him while I'm on my way to heaven.
Yes.
That's what my goal and purpose is.
Well, you know, you and I have joined together in a goal to really reveal heaven on earth by the love of God, the concern. And let me just ask you this question, because, you know, we face a lot of important decisions. I'm saying to Christians, read Acts 20:20, and let's ask God to give the church 20/20 vision, where we're always speaking the truth in love with many tears, calling for repentance, pointing people to God. Do you believe that we as Christians have a responsibility not to turn any field, like our own fertile field? Paul said our life is a cultivated field. It's supposed to bear and bring forth fruit. He's given us oversight over all that God has created. We're overseers, and we're supposed to be heavenly-minded, making a kingdom impact. Do you believe that it's important for Christians to recognize as stewards and as representatives of heaven and the kingdom of heaven and the King of heaven, that we want to give wise oversight to what God left us to oversee? And many Christians seem to have left that up to the deceiver as though it didn't matter who runs the schools, ruined the schools, runs the country. How important is it for Christians? Because you and I started praying together that the weight of God's glory, kingdom, and truth would impact planet Earth. And I don't think we're praying amiss there. So what would you say to the church about our responsibility now?
Well, our goal is to bring the influence of Jesus Christ and the impact of heaven right into the world in which we live today. And we are stewards of that influence, and we are to do it with all of our hearts. And obviously, we've taken some steps in that direction that have been misunderstood and sometimes criticized by others. But if I'm going to be criticized, I'd rather be criticized for doing something than for not doing anything. Like one old boy said, I like the way I'm doing it better than the way you're not doing it. and what that means is we have to stand up and be counted for who we are. If we're Christians, we don't have to be ashamed of that. We can stand up and be counted for, and we need to do that with all of our hearts, with grace, and speak the truth in love and live out what we believe so that it can make a difference in our world. If we don't do that, we're being unfaithful stewards, in my estimation.
Well, you appreciate this wonderful man of God, a truth of God.
I hope you enjoyed that. And I know if you haven't already picked up Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven, you are going to enjoy that. And you can ask for that today when you show a little heaven to somebody really that is experiencing hell. And Tammy, that is how bad the situation is.
It is.
In so many places. You've seen it.
I have. And I've been to Angola myself. So I have seen it. It's desperate. These people are hurting. And I feel like it is our call to step in and to make a difference. It's not just our call. It's an honor and it's a privilege to help those in need. Take a minute, if you will, and watch this and see how you today can be a bit of heaven for these people that are crying out for help, that are doing everything that they can, but they just need a little something. It might be you today.
Our trip here in Angola is coming to an end, and we have been with so many mothers and grandmothers this week who have lost their children and their grandchildren and whose crops have failed, and there's no food in their villages to feed, and they and their husbands and sons and daughters are all working diligently trying to find a way to make just enough to survive. But today I'm sitting here in a field, a very dry and barren field, with a grandmother. This grandmother has dreams and hopes for her grandchildren. She had seven of them. But just 6 months ago, she lost one. She lost little Amelia. And there are no words to express. And I'll be honest with you, after being here 2 weeks and listening to more brokenhearted stories than I can imagine, I hardly have tears left in my body to cry. If we don't help these villages, these families, the hopes and the dreams of being able to see a time that's better for their grandchildren than it was for them is almost impossible. And so I'm asking you right now, for every one of you that are watching Life Today, whatever way you give, I'm asking you, do not delay one more minute. Please go now and make your very best gift. Lives are dependent on you.
My heart completely aligns with John there. I have seen children dying, and I have been a part of something even more special where I've been able to give life in mission feeding, and I know how important it is. I know the impact that it makes. I know that John's speaking the truth, that there is such a desperate, desperate situation going on right now. Their land is very barren and dry. They're doing everything they can to produce some kind of food to eat. They just need some help. They're doing everything. They're working hard day and night. They just need some help. They're dreaming. But you know what? Their dreams are entirely different than mine. I'm not sitting around today dreaming about my next meal, but they are. And so I would love to be a part of helping them make that dream come true.
We can do it. And, you know, an interesting thing about John Yates, because some people, you may have talked to John on the phone over the years. He's been with the ministry a long, long time.
Yeah.
But only recently moved into the director of our mission outreaches
position.
And he's been on a bit of a whirlwind tour around the world. And I bring that up because we have people all around the world that we've worked with for many years, decades, some of them. The Pretorius family, we go way back with them. We have people on the ground, ready to go. They are already working right now in mission feeding to feed 350,000 children every day. These are children who need just that bowl of soup for a short period of time, sometimes a few weeks, sometimes several months, but whatever it is to get them in a position where their bodies can have enough nutrition to function, to learn, to go to school, to develop a trade, to take care of themselves, to get the crops back in order. These people work hard, but times are hard. Mm. And there are a variety of reasons why someone finds themselves from being a few meals away from malnutrition or starvation or death. Because we've been doing mission feeding so long, we have the people in place right now ready to save lives. We need one more thing, and that one more thing is you. Mm. We need people to come together from across the world, whether you're watching in the United States, Canada, Australia, wherever you're at, and saying, I want to do my part. My part may be $30 to help feed three children for the next 3 months. It may be $50 to feed five, $100 to feed 10, $1,000 to feed 100. Some of you, it may be far more than that, just to step in and say, I will provide that bridge. I will be that light of heaven into the darkness that these people are living in. Will you do that? We're ready. We're ready to go. We're just asking you to join with us and be a part of Mission Feeding. And Tammy, you know, it will mean so much to those mothers, to those grandmothers,
yes,
when we put a bowl into their child's hands.
It does mean everything to them. Randy, I've seen them cry. I've seen them sob just thinking that bowl's probably saved the life of their child, that they don't have to bury another child. They've buried so many already. Mm-hmm. Please, please be the change with us today. We can do this together. I know we can. The impact is enormous. Go online or go to the phone and make the best gift you can today. It would mean a lot to us and to these families.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, We urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you 365 days of courage. Filled with scriptures and words of encouragement, this daily devotional will give you the confidence that comes from knowing how God sees you. Take courage in Christ's love and be ready to conquer each day. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Blessing Framed Art. This beautiful wall art will grace your home or office and serve as a daily reminder of God's blessing and kindness over your family. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds, inspired by Jesus' words in Matthew 6:26. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Here I am in Southern Africa, probably one of the most heartbreaking scenes. It's so hard for me to sit here and watch these tiny little babies fight for their life. They don't belong here. They should never be here. This little baby should not be here. Together we can make a change. Together we can make a difference. That's where I'm asking you to partner with us today. Go online or call the number at the bottom of your screen and make a difference today. Help me, help us provide for these children, thousands of children, with a bowl of food. Just one bowl of food every day will make the difference.
I hope you're going online or going to the phone. Make the best gift you can, because you will be making a difference. You will be saving a life. When you do it today, you can request Dr. Jeremiah's book, Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven. We would love to send it to you because you have been heaven in someone's life today. Fun program, Tammy.
Definitely fun. And remember, if you've missed any programs, that you can go to lifetoday.org at any time and watch all of them. They're available to you at any time. We love you so much. We truly appreciate you. And we'll see you next time on Life Today.
Bye-bye.
See you.
Born into a broken home, born into poverty, graduate from Harvard Law School, go on to practice law for 15 years.
E.W. Jackson, next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.